flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. It is time right now, just a little after 6 o'clock, to let you hear from some of the key participants in this weekend's NFC Championship game, which means we get to go to Ashburn. Yep, that's right. I'm going to say it again. The Commanders are in the NFC Championship game. So let's hear from not only Dan Quinn, but Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, Frankie Louvu over the next half hour as well before Scott Pioli joins us live at 6:30.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
Let's get right to it with
number one.
All right, Jaden Daniels. He took to the podium today, as he usually does on Wednesday. He's actually going to speak again on Friday this week as well. Also joined, not at the same time, but later, Terry McLaurin, Frankie Louvu as well. And all three players spoke about what it's like to be in this NFC Championship game. Here's Daniels on what it's like to advance this far.
It's a blessing to make it this far in the season. You know, there's countless a lot of I know teams want to be in this position, so it's a blessing. Can't really take it for granted, but you also just got to be in the moment and, you know, take it one day at a time.
Something he's done extraordinarily well this year, and that has gotten him farther than basically any other rookie quarterback ever. There's just a few others that have gotten to this stage, a rookie starting a conference championship game. None of them have had a defense ranked as low in scoring as Daniels has in the modern era. Of course, one more win, and he's in the Super Bowl. That would be a first. No rookie quarterback has ever started the Super Bowl. What would that mean to Jaden?
Man, I'm not even thinking that far. You know, it will obviously be a blessing, but, you know, I'm just focused on, you know, how can I be better day by day.
Could have put $1 million on that being the answer, but someone had the audacity to ask. For guys like Terry McLaurin, the perspective is quite different. Terry, here the entire time, so many bad seasons, so many losing seasons, tasted the playoffs once before, but never in a season like this, and never, of course, this far. The Tampa game was his first playoff win, Detroit now his second. What has this playoff run meant to a guy that's been here since 2019?
Yeah, it's been a great run so far, seeing the way that we've come together throughout the course of the season, fought through some adversity in the middle part of the season when we lost a few, and then to end the season strong like the way we did. That momentum I feel like we've carried into the playoffs, and each week we've gotten better. DQ talks a lot about leveling up, being better each week, and I feel like we've answered that call, and it's going to take our best this week to be able to win in Philly. So it's been great to be a part of this, but, you know, we're not really celebrating or reminiscing because the job's not done yet. So we're looking forward to the challenge this weekend, but I'm proud of the way that we have just continued to get better each and every week, and we still don't feel like we've reached our ceiling. So to feel that way in this part of the season, you couldn't ask for more. So everything we want is still out in front of us, but we're focused on preparing the white way so we could go into this game fully ready to go.
Terry, a long history of playing well in Philadelphia, going back to his very first NFL game. I remember I was there, caught two touchdown passes, including a big long one early on in that game. For Frankie Luvu, the story is a little bit different, but also not too dissimilar. A lot of losing for Frankie Luvu in Carolina. Now in year seven in the NFL, what's it been like for him to be on this ride?
Man, it's crazy because I was like asking the guys, like, if we were to ask the question, like, would y'all think we would be here today or we might have a chance? A lot of guys say we have a chance, you know what I mean? But it just took time for us to build that brotherhood, build that bond in anybody, anywhere, anytime. And we got that. So, man, we got a special group, and I'm going to go with my boys 100.
They do. They're on message. They're on message not because they're on message in the way that like a politician doesn't answer the question and is on message. This is truly who they're about, and that has helped get them to here. A third rematch with Philly, number two here in the Pick Six at six. And that idea of this is not the second matchup, this is not a rematch like Tampa was. This is a third rubber match type of game here against the Eagles. Unless you ask Dan Quinn, because he's looking at this thing just a little bit differently as he is wont to do.
Yeah, I think the natural narrative, you know them and they know you, and I don't really think of it that way. You start right back at it. You know, what are fresh eyes on the games? What are fresh eyes on the times from when we played it? The easy narrative would be, hey, they know us, we know them, but it's different than that to me. This is our first time playing them in the postseason. Game one, what needs to be different? What could be the same? You know, what do we need to start doing? What do we need to stop doing? Same thing in the second game. And so as you get into the third matchup with somebody, you want to make sure you have fresh eyes for the first two. Hey, did I miss something? And was there something there that I didn't, you know, think we had or did? And both teams will have things on their call sheets that never got called in that game. And you do have those up still that you've been practicing. And sometimes every play on your call sheet doesn't make it into the game, and you keep those alive as well.
So that's Dan Quinn going into this third matchup against the Eagles, which he would probably not even like to call a rematch. It's just the third matchup against teams, between teams wearing the same two uniforms. There's obviously a lot of carryover. There's obviously similar. All right, the coaching staffs are the same. There's going to be some schematic similarities. There's a ton of player crossover, although a couple key pieces have changed on each side. For Jaden Daniels, he kind of cracked this Philly defense the last time out. Five touchdown passes, including the game winner to Jamison Crowder. So what's it like for him to see the Eagles for a third time?
I think you put some different wrinkles into the game plan. I'm pretty sure they will too. But at the end of the day, it's about, you know, execution and fundamentals. And that's a very good team that we're going to face for a third time again. So they got a lot of good players. Obviously, we know them. They know us. So it's going to be a fun matchup going up against them on Sunday.
It is definitely going to be a lot of fun. This game is so simple in so many ways. For Jaden in the offense, can you find the explosives that you found, whether it's through Eckler or down the field to Diami, down the field to Terry? Terry had that great catch in that first one on Kenyon Mitchell. Is Kenyon Mitchell even going to play? By the way, he was questionable today. The Eagles did a simulated walkthrough, so they didn't have a full practice, but Mitchell was limited. So was Jalen Hurts, for whatever that is worth. Daron Payne amongst the key guys not practicing for the Commanders. But on the rematch side of it, it comes down to, can the Commanders find that as explosive plays? And then this final first half part of our Pick Six.
Number three.
Can they stop Saquon Barkley? It really is that easy in some ways. It's just doing it is hard. Here's Frankie Luvu.
No, man, it's just pretty simple. Just, you know, us being in our gaps and making our hits. You know, he's going to find little creases here and there, and that's something he's good at. You know, checking every gaps, making sure everybody's disciplined. And, you know, on our part, we just got to be in our gaps and making our hits when it comes.
I don't know that Saquon's the best, like, set it up. Like, Gibbs was amazing at this, watching him back on film. Like, that dude is so skilled as a running back, and, like, little nuanced things that really pop. Saquon is like, if I see a gap, I'm sticking my foot in the ground, I'm going, and you are not going to catch me. And obviously in the open field, hurdles, jukes, sometimes combined all in one, he's very, very special. But, like, it's a different type of thing than facing Gibbs and some of the other backs that they faced. And obviously, other backs have found a lot of success. So is Saquon. Saquon also had a really bad second half against the Washington in the last game after Jalen Hurts wasn't there to help him out on the zone read type of stuff. And that threat had been eliminated. So for Dan Quinn, what's the emphasis this week on making sure that they stop 26, the man who is probably going to win the defensive player of the year, or the offensive player of the year in the NFC.
Yeah, every single time that I've coached against him, he's been the emphasis. And he's a remarkable player. We have faced some excellent running backs, you know, through this season. And for him, another one. And it's the explosive plays that he can create. You know, there's some running backs, it's four, it's five, but it's the long ones with that type of speed and the explosive plays. And that's what's most difficult when you're good, not so good. And so you have to be able to do right over and over again and not get bored with just being in the right spot over and over again in the tackling. In games like this, it's just a premium. That's why we do work so hard at those things to make sure our fundamentals are staying. Like if other teams are deteriorating at that, I want it just the opposite, that we're tackling at a higher level today than we were months ago. And so we work really hard at that specific skill.
And it's something that definitely has shown up. Washington has been very, very good in that department. And I think that emphasis is also great during the week of, it's not that you want to play scared, but it's not like, hey, go make a bunch of plays, be super aggressive, let's shoot gaps, let's whatever. It's like, no, just, you're not going to get in trouble for doing what you're supposed to do. And there are some backs that being a little more aggressive, you can get in trouble doing that. This is one of those guys. And there's other backs that you can be more aggressive and you're not really going to, you know, the worst thing that happens is they get a 6 yard gain instead of a two, or a minus two. And it's worth the risk at that point. Saquon, not really worth the risk. And those second and third level defenders, making sure that they are there to clean stuff up is so critically important this week, because that's how it goes from like, oh man, that was an 8 yard gain, second and two, that kind of sucks, to, oh, well, it's the extra point now because Saquon scored a 70-yard touchdown, which Washington unfortunately has some experience with this year. When we get back, you'll hear even more from Jaden Daniels, more from Dan Quinn, more from Frankie Louvu and Terry McLaurin. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Chicken how you want it at Wawa with customizable crispy or roasted chicken sandwiches. Super Bowl winning executive Scott Pioli joins us now, an analyst with the NFL Network at 6:30. Real quick though, let's wrap up our pick six at six here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. We gave you some Dan Quinn, some Frankie Louvu, some Jaden Daniels, some Terry McLaurin. Let's continue with a little bit more from DQ. And one of the biggest problems that he's got to figure out this week.
Number four.
Dan and the offensive staff have to decide what to do at right guard. Obviously, Sam Cosmi is sadly lost for the season due to the ACL injury that he sustained against Detroit on the B-Rob touchdown. And now, you would think they would just move forward with Trent Scott, because Trent Scott played really well in the game on Saturday night. Was an excellent pass blocker, did okay in the run game. Cool. But now you got a week to prepare, and you've got a guy in Andrew Wiley who's played some guard before. You got Cornelius Lucas, who's ahead of Scott on the depth chart at tackle, that you could slide out to right tackle. So Brandon Coleman, a lot of people thought he was a guard. Could you kick him inside? So is that on the table, or is it just going to be Trent Scott on Sunday, Dan Quinn?
Yeah, a lot of thought to that, David. And first, let's give a quick shout to Trent of coming in and really being somebody that can handle that. But yes, that is absolutely, you know, how we go about it. And that would be there at any spot. Like what I was saying earlier, like, what's the best thing for us to win this game? And then that is all there is. And so, yeah, that's really where we're at in terms of the next 3 days of our practice.
So it sounds like it's all on the table. I think that's something to watch for. It might just be something to put in Philly's head. Hey, we don't know. I don't know how much it actually affects what Philly's going to do. Here's what I do know. They're probably chomping at the bit because they've got Jalen Carter, who typically lines up right where Sam Cosmi usually is. And they had some wars in the first couple of games this season. So it is a big, 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 big question for Washington this week. What do you do along the offensive line? Those are some of the options. And we'll see if we learn any more as the week goes on. Of course, Cliff Kingsbury talks to the media tomorrow. That he'll say much. We probably honestly won't know until they go take their first snap on Sunday. And if Trent Scott goes out there, I don't know that we're going to have a whole lot of information. Or we're going to even remember that that was a discussion we had on Wednesday. But that is kind of the status quo of things. On to number five.
Number five.
Jaden Daniels, the latest and greatest edition of the dual threat quarterback. He's already one of the best we've ever seen, certainly the best rookie we've ever seen of this variety, the level he's performing. And Jaden was asked today about running quarterbacks and how the position is played now versus maybe some of the guys that he saw growing up. Although he's a young guy, so he probably had some guys he could watch growing up.
I think that's just how the position is played. You got guys on the other side of the ball that can run 4-4, 4-3, so you got to be able to move a little bit, be able to play make. So I think that's just, you know, a part of the game and how the game's evolving now.
It's part one of the things that attracted him to Dan Quinn, because Dan, as a defensive coach, knows how hard that is. Like, they can just break your defense. And, of course, on the other side is one of the guys who does that extraordinarily well. While he's not the most gifted passer, Jalen Hurts is an unbelievable runner. And he has a tendency to pick up big first downs in big spots and pick his spots very well. He's tough to bring down. He finishes runs. And, of course, if he can just get close, you got the tush push on fourth down. But for Jaden, I think what's magical is his ability to sit in the pocket and dissect defense. And then if you rush him, then you have to catch him. And there's even times against the blitz where he just sees an overload coming left and he'll just be like, fine, I'll run to the right. All of you are going to play tag, basically, and you're running around this giant barrier called my offensive line, and you're vacating all this space over here, so I'm not it. And that's worked for him at times this year. Nevertheless, if he can keep his eyes up and find a little bit more down the field. As for DQ and his thoughts on this, he was asked if it's a prerequisite. Is it a must for mobility at the modern NFL quarterback position?
Yeah, Adam, I think it certainly helps, because the extended plays that happen, you know, in our game, whether it's the rush, the blitz, anything, for the guys that can get outside the pocket and remain a dual threat, remain a passer on the run to rip it, or if they're dropping too far back to go. So it definitely, there's different levels of it for sure, but I would say it certainly feels like the guys are most difficult to defend have that capability.
You can do everything right against a starting quarterback. Everything that can run as a defense, what you coach on the paper, and then he can wreck your day. Just gets out, one guy misses, and then you're in a bad spot. And Jaden has done that to so many teams this year, and he did it to Philadelphia last time they played. Which brings us to our final point in our pick six.
Number six.
Last time these two teams played, it was a weird game. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson got ejected. Jalen Hurts got hurt. But ultimately, the Commanders won. So are they coming in with this underdog mentality, even though they're the lower seed, they're on the road, in the way that a lot of people would probably expect? I think you know what the answer is going to be from Dan Quinn.
We just don't let the outside narrative kind of drive it. And internally, we've got a lot of expectations about how we can play and what we do, but we never, you know, went too far outside of things. Did we feel dismissed or put off? Yeah, of course some. I think that happened in the opening game. I felt dismissive. Hey, man, hang in there. It's going to be a long time. I was like, hey, F you. You know, like, that's not how it's going to go down. And I was upset. But it wasn't disrespect. It was dismissiveness. And I felt some kind of way, but it didn't motivate me more to say, that's how they think of us. It wasn't disrespect. It was we're going to be a lot better than what we just showed today. And eventually we'll show that. So it's not a prove it to everybody else or underdog story. It's, you know, it's how we get down. This is not a 7-game series. And so, like, we got to play our best on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And that, to me, is the biggest factor.
And in a 1-game series where you got the best quarterback, you're going to play hard and you take care of the football, you got a great chance to win. And that's how the Commanders have gotten here. That is how they're going to try to get down again on Sunday against the Eagles. That's our pick six at six here on the Hoffman Show. Tomorrow you'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Witt Jr., and more. But coming up next, Scott Pioli. He hired Adam Peters for his first NFL job, and he joined us just over a year ago to talk about AP. A little over a year later, what's he think of the job that he's done? I think he's going to be pretty proud. We'll talk to Pioli next here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. It was exactly 1 year and 10 days ago, I know because I went and looked it up this morning, that we opened our show by welcoming our next guest, who was the guy, and still is the guy, who gave Adam Peters his first job in the NFL. Scott Pioli, NFL Network analyst, multiple Super Bowl winner as an executive in the NFL. Did you think that 1 year and 10 days later, we would have you back to talk about the Commanders in the NFC Championship game?
I knew we'd be having this conversation or something close to it at some point. I can't say that I thought we'd be having it 12 months later, Craig, that's for sure. But you know, I remember that call in that conversation too. And then we even talked a little online and how happy and excited I am for Washington fans, because, you know, when Washington football is good, it's good for the NFL. It's, you know, it's good.
It's fantastic. People ask me, oh, how you doing? I talk about the Washington Commanders for a living. How do you think I'm doing? I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking. How are you? What about, like, obviously you saw something in Adam Young. You hire him as a scout and you watch his career, and people, if they want to go back and listen to that interview, I'd certainly recommend it for all the background information. But what about what he's done in the last year has impressed you most?
I think it's a combination of things, right? I think it's the head coach partnership that he has, which is, I mean, that is the most important thing, right? The most important thing is the head coach hiring and the head coach partnership. The next most important thing is, who's your quarterback? Building the team, building the locker room, building your staff, right? Getting things in place. And in this 1 year, he's done a lot of things. You know, and I think we talked about this on air last year, talking about what were some of the things I respected about Adam and liked about Adam. When I met him when he was a young guy. He had just finished playing at UCLA. He was a graduate assistant coach, you know, getting people coffee and doing whatever he had to do. And one of the things, you know, when I first brought him on board at the New England Patriots, I remember distinctly was how much respect he showed for some of our older scouts. There was a guy by the name of Larry Cook, who was our college director, had transitioned, was our West Coast scout. And Larry was, you know, in his latter years. And another guy by the name of Jake Hallam, who were terrific coaches. And I watched and paid attention to how Adam treated those folks. I remember Larry Cook's wife saying, you know, how respectful and how much he looked out for Larry when they were on the road together. And that meant a lot to me. And I bring up that story because I think as you watch how Adam built out his front office staff, his personnel staff, he had the intelligence or the good decision-making to keep people like Doug Williams and Martin Mayhew. He brought in Lance Newmark, who had been a lot of places. He brought in some other people, Scott Fitterer. He did not allow his ego get in the way of surrounding himself with good people. And guys like Martin and Doug being able to provide wisdom and experience, I think has been a really important part. But again, not surprising knowing Adam and how he handles and treats people that have experience with respect.
Scott Pioli, NFL Network, with us here on the Hoffman Show. I love that story, and it leads perfectly into a version of the next question I wanted to ask you. And that's kind of just about some of those guys, like the guys that he kept, the guys that he brings in, some of the positions they create to flush out this front office, I think is amazing. Is there any one of those in particular that stands out to you, or a couple that you think, wow, that was a really, whether it's innovative or just like he saw it somewhere else and it worked and he decided that was something I want to do, move or position or person that he brought that really stands out to you?
No, you know, again, I just go back to the, you know, I mean, Marty's around too, right? Marty Herney's. There's a lot of really smart people that learn how to do things, and sometimes institutional knowledge and, you know, things that Doug has, things that Martin has. I think that whole idea of I don't know if that's innovative. But he saw it firsthand. I mentioned some of the older people we had at the New England Patriots. There was also another guy around that he got to know by the name of Buck O'Kilroy, who was, you know, one of the founding fathers of scouting, and he was in his 80s, and we kept him at the Patriots. And I think I don't know if this is innovative or not, but making sure that he surrounded himself again with experience and knowledge, because none of us has all the answers, no matter how good we are, no matter how talented we are. I think it goes back to, again, him having enough understanding and humility I don't know if that's innovative or not, but there's a lot of people, when they ascend to those positions, think they got it all figured out. And so to me, that was so critical.
For sure. Let me flip the question and see if this is a better way to ask it then. Because, like, Martin Mayhew was certainly a name that people around here could not wait to get rid of because they're like, oh, he's one of Rivera's cronies. Mm. Like, it was a failed administration. Get him out. Marty Herney, same thing. I mean, Marty and Ron go way back in Carolina. Scott Fitterer is available because he gets fired in Carolina after he helped replace Rivera in Carolina. And on down the list, like, all these guys, like, Newmark is one thing. He was lower, and they gave him a promotion. But they brought in a lot of guys who clearly had skill sets that helped him get high roles in the first place, but maybe that job was either too big for them or whatever the reason is, structurally, whatever, that they failed or were no longer welcome in the positions they had. How do you, as someone who is the head of a front office, especially for the first time, unlock those skill sets to be able to maximize the things that made all those people worthy of those big jobs in the first place?
Well, I think part of it there's humility on both sides, right? With the person that remains and the person that takes over. It's trust, it's security, and I mean security in a psychological security.
Yep.
And but I also think that there's a great deal of humility, and the people who are demoted or not necessarily in those positions. Here's what I think is people that are servants don't care about titles. They don't care about, and that's what the job of the general manager is. Yes, you have to oversee things. Yes, you have to be the boss. But really, in that role, Adam's job is to be a servant to the head coach who's serving the players, right? And that's the way this goes. And people, I think, sometimes lose sight of the fact, to answer the other part of the question, I think sometimes just because someone's fired doesn't mean that they're not any good. Just right. because someone didn't have success in a situation doesn't mean that they're not any good. I was with Bill Belichick when Bill got fired in Cleveland, right? I've been with a number of other coaches and front office people. You know, I was with DQ, right? I was with DQ. DQ got fired. Thomas Dimitroff got fired. Thomas Dimitroff is an incredible general manager. So I think, you know, the first part of that question, when you were talking about, you know, people with experience and they want to run people off, people don't go into those jobs trying to fail. Sometimes there's circumstances that are happening behind closed doors that the world never sees, that the media doesn't see, the fans don't see, that have something to do with success and or failure. And just because you're a part of a failed regime doesn't mean that you're a failure and doesn't mean that you're not any good.
That is very well put. Scott Pioli is with us from the NFL Network here on the Hoffman Show. So then he gets to picking players, and he's pretty good. And the guys he's got are pretty good at that part, too.
They did all right.
Yeah. When you look at Jaden and you think of knowing Adam like you do, knowing DQ like you do, and obviously this is that is the piece. We can talk about all the other great things they've done, and that's what I do for 15 hours a week here between 4 and 7. But when you look at the Jaden piece of it, what has impressed you the most about either what he has done as an individual or the structure and circumstances that have allowed him to blossom like he has as an individual?
Well, I'm a big believer in that the development of quarterbacks is circumstantial, right? And you have to have people around you on not only on the field and in your locker room, but coaches and staff. It takes a village. Now, that being said, you know, I was really fortunate. I worked with the LSU football program as a consultant for Brian Kelly in Jaden's 2 years there, and I got to know him as soon as he walked in the door. And when I had a chance to spend time with him, I was a little bit taken back and was trying to sort out when I first met him, like, okay, this guy can't be this mature. You know, he can't be this smart. He can't be this detailed. And that calm that you see was my every meeting with him. And, you know, I remember reaching out to or having communication with DQ and AP before the draft. And, you know, I share the story with them about, you know, I know I've shared it in other places in DC about, you know, I had to do Good Morning Football with NFL Network, and we were on Central Time. So I was in there real early in the morning. It was like, it was after 5 o'clock in the morning. And when I got there, Jaden was walking out of a room with these two guys I know weren't coaches, but they were, you know, they were, and he was walking out with his virtual reality goggles. And again, this is now the second year. And I said, hey, man, what are you doing here? And I'm thinking, okay, is this guy trying to play me or what? And I'm like, what were you doing? What'd you learn with the virtual reality goggles? And he's like, well, you know, I've never been to Mississippi State. I've never been to Starkville. He said, but I just spent the morning learning about Starkville and their sidelines. What it looks like is I can walk in that stadium now, and I know exactly where the play clocks are, you know, either the 30-second clock. And it's his attention to detail and maturity and understanding. He has a remarkable work ethic, but he also arrived with outstanding and beyond his year work habits. Then he's had a group of people around him. It's DQ, it's AP, it's Cliff, it's all of these people. There's a village that's developing him, and he's all in. You know, I was blessed to be around Brady, and Brady had all those things that we're talking about here, but he had a village around him of people that were incredible coaches that helped him develop.
Scott, do you ever think of yourself as like the Forrest Gump of the NFL with all these people that you're around? And specifically this, like, if you watch the Commanders make the NFC Championship game, and like, I have been around all these dudes. I didn't know you had Jaden Daniels stories. I knew DQ and Adam from previous conversations. Every guy asked about you. Like, yeah, I was here, I was there. You're the guy.
No, it's just good fortune, man. I'm blessed to be around good football people, and I'm attracted to their greatness, right? And yeah, so it's I've been fortunate. They did a lot of other things with that roster too. Here's the other thing I'll say about the Jaden Daniels development.
For sure.
And is one of the most unsung signings that they had this year as a free agent, in my opinion, is Tyler Biadasz. And here's what AP did learn, and I know that DQ learned or knows. When AP was in New England, we always made sure that we had a really smart center for a young quarterback. And AP saw that. It started off with Mike Compton, Damian Woody. It was Danny Copen. There was always really smart people in the center, because that's the guy who's got to check and be on the same page and be able to help identify the front, identify the mic, and get protections called. And DQ, we had it with Alex Mack, who's one, I mean, I think should be a Hall of Fame center. And bringing in a guy like Tyler, who DQ had knowledge of, and watching the collaboration, quite honestly, between DQ and AP, I know AP saw that, you know, when Bill and I were together in New England, that when you go through that list of free agents, you guys did a pretty good job, right? They knew that Jeremy Chinn, who wasn't a fit for every team, was going to be good for the Commanders. Frankie Louvu, not the right guy for all teams, but certainly the right guy for that team and for DQ's defense. You know, Bobby Wagner, of course. So they built the team the right way as partners.
No doubt. And that has been so much fun to watch. All right, last but not least, with Scott Pioli here from NFL Network, that brings us to this weekend. It's a third time playing each other for
gosh.
The Commanders.
Don't ask me a prediction, Craig.
I'm not going to ask you a prediction.
Make it hard.
I try not to ask people for straight up predictions. But what's the most interesting aspect of this game for you? The thing that if it goes one way, the Eagles win. If it goes the other way, the Commanders win. Like the biggest slider, if you will, on the game settings.
Slider. I'm hungry, by the way. I haven't had dinner yet. You know, I'm excited because it's two really good teams, talent-wise. Two good quarterbacks. I can't wait to watch Saquon. I can't wait to watch Saquon against the Commanders' defense. I want to see – the rubber's going to meet the road here somehow, some way. And I want to see can Washington, can the Commanders hold Saquon the entire game? Because that's what happens. You never know. And then all of a sudden Saquon has a 70-yard run in the fourth quarter. I'm excited. But, you know, I grew up an NFC East guy anyway. Right? I was a Giants fan. So I loved as a kid to hate the Eagles. I loved to hate Washington. I hated Dallas more than anything. I'm excited that, to me, again, this is – I'm more focused on how good this is for football and the people involved and the people coaching. I mean, I think the world of Deke, the Commanders spoke about, you know, I worked with Nick Sirianni too. You know, he was an entry level quality control coach for us. And I have a lot of respect for him. There's good football people coaching this weekend, and everyone's going to see good football.
And that's how you get here. Just four remaining. NFL Network has loads of coverage, including from Scott and all his colleagues. You can, of course, watch that wherever you watch your football, on television or on NFL Plus. Scott, always great to catch up. Hopefully see you down the road. And thanks for all the stories. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Craig. Appreciate you, man.
That's Scott Pioli with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, we wrap things up with real things real people said into real microphones. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. What a show. Robert Mays, fantastic. Scott Pioli, fantastic. Sorry to let you down with Santana Moss and the schedule mishap there, but I do think the Tandem Man and I are going to chat tomorrow, so we'll have him. We're hoping to have a couple of more folks on the show tomorrow, so I'm not going to jinx anything. I think that's what I've learned, Anthony, is unless something is 100% locked in stone, I'm just going to say, I'm not going to false promise you in terms of, I'm not going to say we have a big guest coming and then actually not, and then be like, oh, sorry, they canceled. But I'm also not going to name names unless I have it pretty well locked in.
That's fair. You don't wanna get...
I got a big one that's floating tomorrow that it depends on his schedule, as he is doing some stuff to get ready for this game. And if we get him, it's going to be great. And if not, that would suck. But now you won't know who it is. So we got that going for us, which is nice. You know what the Commanders have going for them, Anthony?
What?
Pre-game speeches from Terry McLaurin. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there's only one option for real things real people said in real microphones today. Mic'd up, divisional weekend style. Scene. You're in the tunnel. You're getting ready to go out and play the biggest game of your life, unless you're one of like three guys who's actually made it further than this, wearing burgundy and gold. Number 17's at the head of your player line, getting ready to run out. And then this happens.
Hey, we here. We the show. Hey, everything you got inside of you, you got everything you need to be successful. No reason to be fearful. No reason to have anxiety, because everything you need is inside you. We live a great life. But listen here. When this money gone, when this fame gone, the only thing you really got is your name and your reputation. What are they gonna say about your name? What are they gonna say about your reputation? What are they gonna say when they turn that film on? I know what they gonna say about me. I'ma ride out. They gonna say we some dogs, man. Let's get it. Be who you say you are, man. 103, 1, 2, 3, win.
Terry hits every note in that. If I wasn't like battling off like the flu or whatever the hell I'm fighting here, I would be ready to run through a wall, and I might be ready to run through a wall anyway. That, I mean, he challenges folks. He challenges them like, you say you're this? Well, go prove it. I'm going to do it. Like, he leads. He just fires people up. He hits the right tone. It's authentic. It's believable. He kind of breaks the cliche by saying, hey, we live a great life. We don't got to do this. We made our money. What are they going to say about you, though? That's Anthony. You needed that before Flag Football Nationals.
Nah, for real. I did.
Y'all did
that.
Well, but.
What'd you say?
I said, y'all did well, but. Damn.
Nah, we could have definitely done better. And a Terry McLaurin hype speech like that definitely would have got us going. I'm not even going to lie, Craig. Like, the first couple of games we had, energy was low. I'm like, come on, guys. We came down here. We got a mission. We got a purpose.
Now,
Let's go.
Now you
got
to bookmark that. And every time before you play from now on. That's gotta go in.
Might need it.
That's gotta go in. All right. That's our show for today. If you missed any part of it, check out the podcast, YouTube, wherever it is that you want your on demand for the podcast. Just search The Hoffman Show wherever you get yours. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock here on the Team 980.